Blog Talk Radio.
And I thought today we would talk a little bit about my book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. I wanted to give you a little report as to what's going on, how we're doing, and just bring you up to speed and the progress of the book. But first of all, I want to say thank you to the management of Blog Talk Radio for featuring our program today. It's always great when they do that. We love it. We love it. So thank you to the management of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for your confidence in putting our show on the front page. And thank you to the listeners, those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. Well, our topic today is my new book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. And for those who may be tuning in for the first time, I wrote this book. We actually published the book a couple of weeks ago. It's available on Amazon and our website, and I'll fill you in on some of that information as we go on with the show. But the book, as I said, was released about 10 days ago, and we've had... it's just been great, the comments that we get from some of the readers, and I'll share some of them with you. But I think the most interesting thing for me and the most satisfying thing for me is some of the reviews we've been getting, and that's something that I'll share with you as well. But you can get Cubanos in Wisconsin. I have a link to the show, and where on the show information, we have a link, and if you click on that, it'll take you to the website. There's a couple of ways of getting the book. You can get the book directly from Amazon. If you click on, there's two books on, when you go to the website, you'll see two books on your screen. The one on the left will take you directly to Amazon, and you can buy the book directly from Amazon. The one on the right is a special feature we are running. That will give you you can get my signature on that book, and I can dedicate the book to you, if you will. So if you follow that option, you click that, and then we'll send you the book ourselves, and we'll sign it and dedicate it to you. And I know many people have been enjoying that, particularly if you're getting the book maybe for your father or your mother or your grandfather or your grandmother, or the other way around. You know, we've had a couple of grandfathers who have wanted to get the book for their grandson or granddaughter. So it works either way. You can either get it for the old guy or you can get it for the young guy. It doesn't matter, but we'll be happy to sign it either way. So you go to the website, Cubanos in Wisconsin, and there it is. You can decide which of these two features you would like, and you can read the book and enjoy it. We've had some good reviews, and I wanted to share some of them with you today and kind of bring you up to speed. And we're going to have more. I know there's two or three other reviews pending publication, hopefully in the next 10 days. They will be published. Our first review was at the Babalu blog. You know, you may be familiar with that blog. It's one of the most popular blogs in the United States. It's a Cuban-American blog, Babalu, just like, remember the I Love Lucy show, Babalu? Well, same idea, Babalu, B-A-B-A-L-U. It's a very popular blog, and they wrote a great review about the book. That was the very first one that we had written by Ziva, who is a wonderful lady who writes at Babalu blog, and she wrote a very nice review about it. Then we had a great review by Richard Baer over at The American Thinker. And that, of course, was very nice because we're huge fans of The American Thinker. I have the pleasure of every once in a while we have a post that we write on The American Thinker. I know a lot of you follow The American Thinker. And, in fact, the interesting thing about The American Thinker post, because of that post, I got an interview with Radio Martí, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later. We also had a review by Captain Capitalism. That's of course Aaron Clary, who has himself written a couple of books, Worthless and Enjoy the Decline, and he wrote a review about the book. And the most interesting one, and I say interesting because it just came out of nowhere. We had no idea who this organization was, so that's what makes it interesting. There's an organization up in Wisconsin called Reed Village, R-E-A-D Village. And it's a website that focuses on things Wisconsin. So anything about Wisconsin that they find, they review, whether it's a book or a movie or whatever. And they gave us a review, and a very nice review. We were very proud of that particular review. And by the way, the lady Annette, who is the lady who wrote the review, is going to be joining us on Wednesday night on our show. She's going to be joining us to talk about this organization called Reed Village. I mean, it's fascinating. We had no idea that this kind of an organization existed. So there it is. They are. They gave us a review. So we've had some very interesting reviews. We're very proud of them. And we know there's a couple more. I know for a fact there's two or three more pending, because I've been told that they're coming. And we will be, of course, releasing them as soon as they are available. We've also had some wonderful comments from some of our readers, friends, and people that we didn't know before. For example, Fernando. Now, this is a good friend of mine, Fernando. And some of you may remember Fernando. He was on our show several times. He himself has a book called The Cubans, and we did a series of shows with Fernando over the last few weeks about his particular book. Well, he did a wonderful review, and he put it on online. We have a page at Facebook called Cubanos in Wisconsin, and he put a wonderful review on there, and we're very grateful to Fernando for doing that. Cecilia is a lady here in Dallas, Texas, who wrote a very nice review, and we put that on Cubanos in Wisconsin as well. And of course, we've had other comments from people. I was at a breakfast on Friday morning, the Grupo Internacional de Dallas breakfast, which is a Latin American cultural group here in Dallas, and I was there on Friday, and several people have read the book and told me how much they enjoyed it. So we're very happy. We're very happy with the feedback. We're happy with the way everything is moving, and we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you so much for your support, and thank you so much for buying the book and reading the book and telling your friends about it. Now, I've been getting some emails and some calls and questions when I go out and talk to people. And the first question I get is the title, Cubanos in Wisconsin. What is that? You know, where does that come from? Well, two answers. Number one, the obvious answer is, of course, we were Cubans in Wisconsin, and you know, that was a bit strange, the idea that there would be Cubans in Wisconsin. So that's kind of like the first explanation, that I thought it would be kind of cool to have a title about something as weird or as unique, if you will, as having Cubans in Wisconsin. Now, the other source of the title and where it really comes from is the fact that when we first got to the United States, one of the things that happened when we first got to the United States, we lived in Wisconsin, as I said, there weren't that many Cubans there. And in Madison, Wisconsin, which was our first stop in the United States, we eventually lived in Milwaukee, which is where I went to high school. But the first few years we lived in Madison. That was our first point when we got to Wisconsin. And there were like three or four families, Cuban families. The first one was, of course, my uncle, who had originally told us about Wisconsin. If you read the book, you'll understand that he had moved up there first, and then he was the one who helped us move up there. There were a couple. There was a lady who had a son, I remember, in his 20s or so, and then there were a couple of young men who were students at the University of Wisconsin. The point is that I think there were maybe 14 or 15 Cubans that we knew of in the Madison area. So every once in a while, you know, we would get together and do the crazy things that Cubans do when they get together. You know, they cook the food and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, somebody would bring a record player and somebody had an album and they would play some of the Cuban music, and people would dance. I mean, just a fun get-together type of situation. And one night, You know, all the kids, by the way, are on one side of the house. You know, we're listening to the Rolling Stones, and all of our parents are listening to Cuban music, you know, typical generation gap. Anyway, we're sitting there one day. We're sitting there one night in one of these parties, and I hear all this commotion, all this laughter coming out of the living room, which is where the adults were. So I walk over to the kitchen to get me a soft drink, and I see my mom and my aunt are just hysterically laughing. They're just hysterically laughing. And my mom says, if the CIA was looking for the Cubans in Wisconsin, here they are. All the Cubans in Wisconsin are in this room. And that phrase stuck with me all these years. You know, I just had that in my mind because I thought it was such a cool phrase that I knew when I wrote this book that it was going to be called Cubans in Wisconsin. The only thing I did, of course, is make it Cubanos in Wisconsin just to make it more interesting, but it was that's the origin of the title. So I'm going to give my mom credit for that particular title and how we got to it. But I've had other questions too. A couple of people have emailed me, say, why did you write the book? You know, what was the reason for the book? Well, I've been wanting to write this book really for a long time. This is a book that I probably wanted to write this book about 20 years ago. It's one of those projects that you have in your mind, and you know, you want to get to it, you want to get to it, you want to get to it, but you never do. You know, I'm sure some of you have had projects like that in your life. But anyway, so I just finally decided to do it. I finally decided to do it. And I think a couple of things may have been the triggers that made it possible, perhaps. The first one is that my father has two brothers, my two uncles. One of them passed away in December 2008, and the other one passed away in early 2010. And I began, you know, when the second one passed away, I began to realize that, you know, that particular generation was passing away. Now, my first uncle's death was sort of expected because he had been battling cancer for some time. My second uncle's death was a bit rapid. I was not expecting that. He deteriorated very fast. So I began to think throughout 2010 that, you know, that generation, well, age was catching up with that generation and that I needed maybe to do something like this. The other thing that happened was that in early 2010, our number three son went into the military and we kind of found ourselves in an empty home. We had two boys at Texas A&M and one boy in the Army, and we had an empty home. So I had a little bit more time to think about my sons, but to think about them in a different way. And I began to ask myself, how much do they know about all of this? You know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, could they explain our story? If somebody asked them, oh, your father was Cuban, how did he come to the United States? Would they know the story? So I felt that these two things, you know, the death of my two uncles and the fact that our sons were now moving out, I felt that those were the things that more or less, you know, happened, and I began to take this project very seriously. I spent a lot of time at the library in 2011, and the reason I would go to the library is because that was the one place I could write without interruption. You know, I could just sit there in a little room or in one of the library computers, and I could, you know, work in the Word with a Word document over and over and over again, and I didn't have interruptions. I knew that I would have 2 or 3 hours that I could dedicate to the project. And so I started going to the library practically just about every day. I would find an hour a day to go to the library and sit there and work in my little project. And I had one of those little, you know, those little files, whatever they're called, where you stick it in and save the document, whatever they're called. So I had one of those with me, and I started, and pretty soon, you know, it took me a while, but pretty soon I had 10, 15, 20,000 words, and then I sat down with a lady who had edited a friend's book, and she edited the book. She gave me some ideas about it. So about a year later, roughly a year later, as we got to the spring of 2011, the book was pretty much, I'm sorry, the spring of 2012, the book was pretty much ready to go. I had written the draft. I had it pretty much ready to go. And, you know, I had this lady look at it several times, and she edited the book, and we had it pretty much ready to go. It was about ready to go. And then our number two son and my number one son, both of our sons, the ones who were here in Texas, not the one in the Army, of course, they looked at it, they read it, and they said, Dad, this is a good book, but you need to do this and you need to do that. You need to change it a little bit. So I said, okay, well, let me know what you think. So our number two son, Gabriel, decided that he was going to get very involved in it, and he basically worked on a lot of the style, a lot of the format. He took some of the stories and moved them around a little bit. And when I read what he had done, I said, man, this is really good. This is really good. I was very proud of the fact that he had done so much work on it that we decided to publish the book as a team. And if you look at the book, it has his name as well as mine on the book. So it's interesting because I began writing this book. If you think about it, I began writing this book with the idea that I wanted to let my sons know my story. And here we are. I finished the book working with one of my sons, actually working with two of them, who were very supportive during the whole thing. So it was really, if you think about it, from the standpoint of a father, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun because I began wanting to do something for them, and I ended up doing something with them. So that, to me, was an absolutely amazing consequence of having worked on this book. But another thing, too, that happened as I was working on this book is that I began to realize that we're at a very important point, very, very important point in the trajectory, if you will, or in the story of the Cuban immigration in the United States. And what I mean by that is that we're now into another generation that is coming up. We have a lot of babies who are being born who are Cuban, part Cuban, you know, whatever, father or mom may be Cuban or part Cuban. So a lot of these little kids, you know, in the next 15 to 20 years will be curious about their background, will be curious about, you know, gee, my grandfather was Cuban, my mother was half Cuban, or my dad was Cuban but born in the United States, whatever. And they will want to know more about their heritage. And I thought writing a book like this would put something in the library that a kid 10, 15, 20 years from now, or even today, could read and say, well, here's the story of a family. This is what happened to one family that came to the United States. And I thought this would be a good way of putting something in the Cuban American Library so that somebody could read it in the future. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back, and I'll tell you about some of the upcoming projects related to Cubanos in Wisconsin. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking today about my book, Cubanos in Wisconsin, and going into a little bit of the history of the book and talking a little bit about how we got to the point where I wrote this book with my son, my number two son, Gabriel, who, as I said, is a first-year law student at SMU, and very proud of him for that accomplishment, and very proud of the fact that I worked with him on this book. That was a real treat. I think doing something with your son is something that you learn a great deal about. You know, when we have little kids, we work with them, you know, in the sense that we coach Little League or we coach their... I mean, when my kids were growing up, you know, I was a baseball coach. I used to help out with the basketball team. I mean, I was very involved, obviously, and a lot of the stuff that they did. But now to sit here and work with one of my sons when he's 23, 24 years old, it's a really interesting treat because you actually learn something from them because they, you know, they're well educated and they can teach you a thing or two, even though they're younger than you are. But anyway, we've been busy promoting the book, and I thought I'd share with you some of the things that will be coming up. We had an interview, by the way, last week on the Rick Moran Show. This is Rick, of course, does a show with. I think it's called the Rhino Hour of Power, and it's a show on Tuesday nights that originates out of Chicago, and we had a great time with Rick Moran. Rick is one of the editors over at the American Thinker, and the other person on the show with him that night was Jazz Shaw, who is a writer for Hot Air. The two of them do a show on on Tuesday night, and it was a lot of fun to be with him. It was a lot of fun to answer questions about the book. That was absolutely, absolutely great. Now, I have an interview also that will happen this week, or the next week, the week of the 11th of February, and that interview is going to be with Radio Martí. Radio Martí, for some of you who may not be familiar with it, is a broadcast station that broadcasts to Cuba. They do it through shortwave and the internet. They also have a few AM frequencies that go into Cuba. And this is a great honor. This is a great honor because I'll be doing the interview in Spanish and I'll be talking to people in Cuba. That's a really great honor to be able to introduce the book to them and to talk to them about the book. Obviously, people in Cuba cannot buy this book because of the political situation. But, you know, if we could spark a little bit of interest in Cuba for this book, you know, maybe we can get some copies into the country through some of the tourists and so on who go to Cuba. So I'm really looking forward to that interview. I think it's going to be very different than anything I've done before. We're also going to be this week, we're going to be interviewing with the Catholic radio station here in the Dallas area. And we're very excited about that because there are some references, of course, in the book to my upbringing in Cuba and the Catholic school that we used to go to. So we'll be talking with the Catholic radio station this coming week. Actually, that particular interview is on the 13th of February. I think that's Wednesday, right? Wednesday. And we'll be putting, by the way, links of all of these interviews at Facebook as well as my blog so that people can hear them, so that people can hear them as soon as we have the links. We'll put them up so you can appreciate and you can participate in some of these interviews. And there will be others. There will be others. We're talking to several other places for interviews. I think you'll be hearing at, a lot more of that the next time we do an update about the book. And we're going to try to do these updates frequently just to let you know what is going on with the book. But, of course, more than anything else, we want to thank all of you who have bought the book. We really want to thank you for buying the book, for your comments. You know, we would like to hear from you. And there are several ways that you can tell us about the book. Number one, we have, as I said, if you're a Facebook friend or a Facebook subscriber, there is a page, Cubanos in Wisconsin, where you could join and put comments about the book on there. That's number one. Number two, if you're a friend of mine in Facebook, well, you can feel free to send me a comment. We love to hear them. As I said, we've gotten some very nice comments. I talked about Fernando, the author of the book, The Cubans, very proud to have a comment from him. We talked about Cecilia here in Dallas, Texas, very proud to have a comment from her. We have a friend, my friend Nestor, sent me an email saying he had read the book and he really, really liked it. So those are the kinds of things that we want to hear. And you can, as I say, you can get in touch with us through Facebook, through Twitter. I have a Twitter account. Just look up my name and you'll be able to send me a message, I guess, through Twitter or whatever they call it, whatever they call it. You can send me a message through Twitter, through Facebook. You can go to my blog and leave a comment. And so we want to hear from you. If you're a friend of mine, you can get my email. So there's all kinds of ways of leaving us comments, and we want to hear these comments from you, the readers of the book. And if you happen to hear about our show on some of these radio interviews that we're doing, or if you happen to, I'm sorry, if you happen to read about, hear about the book in some of the radio interviews that we've been doing, we'll give you information as well there to submit your comments. The last thing I wanted to tell you about is we've been talking to some charities in the Dallas area as well as a couple of others where we would like to do fundraisers using the book, because I feel very strongly that we need to put something back in the community that was so helpful to us. So we will be letting you know about some of those fundraiser opportunities that we're working on. And last but not least, you know, during the week, I mentioned in the book that there was a church that relocated us to the United States many years ago. And because we moved out of Wisconsin eventually, our family left Wisconsin about 10 years after we got there because my dad got a job outside of Wisconsin, but we still maintain, of course, very strong ties. And this week I called the church and I spoke with the new minister at that church, and just had an amazing time talking to this lady who's now the minister of that church. And we hopefully will have the opportunity to do some fundraising with that church as well. I mean, it's just been, I'm so grateful, as I mentioned in the book, we're so grateful to so many people who helped our family along the way, that we want to not only sell copies of the books, but we want to be able to help out whenever possible and contribute to some of the great community work that is being done here in Dallas and wherever it may be. One last little note, two bookstores who are already carrying our book in Miami, Ediciones Libreria Universal, I should say, Libreria Universal, which is one of the most famous Cuban bookstores. It's right there in Calle Ocho, or what they call Little Havana. And the owner of that particular bookstore, Mr. Salvat, is carrying our books. He's an old friend of my dad from Cuba, and he's been kind enough to feature our books. So you can go to Librerías Universal in Miami, and you can ask for our book, and there it is. So hopefully you will do that, and tell Mr. Salvat that you really appreciate the great work that he's done over the years preserving and promoting books about Cuba. I think that's something that should be celebrated. I think his wife and daughter also work there, so you may want to say hello to his wife and his daughter as well, who work in the family business, a library, a bookstore in Miami. Here in the Dallas area, we just made an arrangement with a great independent bookstore called A Real Bookstore, and they happen to be in Allen, Texas, which is just north of Dallas, a very sort of a growth area just north of Dallas, and they're going to be carrying our book effective next week. So we're very, very happy, as I said, with the progress of the book. We're very happy with your comments. We're thrilled, and we're going to keep you up to date on everything happening with our book. But more than anything else, thank you for buying the book. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you so much. We're grateful, very, very grateful, and very fortunate to live in a country like this where you can write a book and talk about your heritage and share your heritage with so many people. Well, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back on Sunday night with Bill Katz of Urgent Agenda as we look at the country and what's happening. We'll get back into our political chat with Bill Katz of Urgent Agenda. Now, Bill is in New York, and if you've been following the news out of New York, you know that they're getting quite a snowstorm. So hopefully the phone lines will work on Sunday night when we talk to Bill. Hopefully he's not under the snow in the city of New York. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening to our show. Thank you for buying the book. And we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And we're going to leave you with a wonderful Cuban song called Noche Azul.